Our assigned lectionary passage for this Sunday comes from the first chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 4. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and from all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Even though there are some particular traditional church teachings that I and many of you no longer cling to, I do continue to firmly believe that each of us is called by God, by name, called to recognize that we are a part of the family of God, and called for service in furthering the kingdom of God in our midst. And today's scripture lessons have much insight to share with us concerning all of this. Now, in the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we are introduced to an adult Jesus who was probably around 30 years old. We're told, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So here, in only the ninth verse in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is being baptized. But what Mark never fully explains, however, is why Jesus came to John in the first place to be baptized. We can't fully answer that question, but we do have an understanding of its importance. And at one level, I agree with those who believe that functionally, Jesus' baptism serves somewhat the same purpose as an ordination and installation service. And this is why I say that. As Presbyterians, we view the act of ordination, whether it be to the office of teaching elder, which is pastor, or ruling elder or deacon, as the public acknowledgement that through the nominating process and the vote of the congregation, that person has been called by God to a specific duty and function in the church. And further, we believe that God will empower those who are ordained with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in order to help them fulfill their duties and responsibilities in leading and guiding the congregation. So what's any of this have to do with Jesus and his baptism? Well, just like ordination and installation of church officers, which we will do in a few moments, the public acknowledgement of being called into God's service is indeed part of the meaning of Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism served as an acceptance of not only his place in the family of God, but also of his vocation, of spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. So we, in turn, through our baptism, come to understand that we have a similar vocation of living out and spreading the good news of God's inclusive realm. And we call that, in the best sense of the word, evangelism. And at our annual session retreat just yesterday, we talked about making that a priority in our ministry efforts this year. Now, the story of Jesus' baptism then can teach us about what happens to us in our baptism. And I don't think we talk enough about baptism. In verse 10 of chapter 1, Mark tells us that just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. Well, like Jesus, In and through our baptism, we are also promised the presence of the Holy Spirit upon and within us. Next, Mark writes, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" So now here's the important part for you and I to consider. If Jesus' baptism serves as a model for our own baptism, which as Presbyterians we believe it does, then do these same words of God apply to each one of us? Is God telling you right now, personally, "You are my child, the beloved. In you, I am well pleased"? I truly believe with my whole heart and mind that each one of us is indeed not only a child of God, but a beloved child of God, just as Jesus was. Well, do you believe that? And if so, what difference does or can that make in your life? Well, at a deep and very basic level, that means that you and I do have an important place in the family of God. And because of that, nobody can tell you that your life doesn't matter. Nobody can tell you that you are unloved. Nobody can tell you that you do not belong. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, "Nobody. Nobody. Nobody." In the eyes of God, your life does matter. You are loved, and you do belong. Sometimes, however, we listen instead to that voice of rejection that comes from the world around us. And sometimes that voice of rejection comes from within us. It is at times like this that we especially need to listen instead to God's voice. The renowned Catholic priest Henry Nouwen wrote an incredible book in 1995 entitled Life of the Beloved. And in it he writes, "Yes, there is that voice, the voice that speaks from above and from within and that whispers softly or declares loudly, 'You are my beloved. On you my favor rests.' It certainly is not easy to hear that voice in a world filled with voices that shout, 'You are no good. You are ugly. You are worthless. You are despicable. You are an abomination. You are nobody unless you can demonstrate the opposite.' These negative voices are so loud and so persistent that it's easy to believe them. And that's the great trap. It's the trap of self-rejection." And Nouwen continues, "Over the years, I have come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected," he writes, "left alone or abandoned, I find myself thinking, 'Well, that proves once again that I am a nobody.' Instead of taking a critical look at the circumstances or trying to understand my own and others' limitations, I tend to blame myself, not just for what I did, but for who I am. My dark side says, 'I am no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned.' So let me ask you in all seriousness this morning, can you relate in some way to these words and feelings? I would be surprised if we all can't relate at some level. But an empowering truth still remains. God is saying to you right now, 'You are my child. You are beloved. And with you I am well pleased.' So I encourage you this morning and even challenge you to listen for that voice deep within you that calls you the beloved. This, I believe, is the promise of our own baptism, and it is just as true for us as it was in Jesus' baptism. And we can help each other in this regard right here in this congregation by reminding each other of this truth. For it is also true that when we are aware of our own chosenness, our eyes are open to recognize the chosenness of others. There is a unique, special place for everyone in the family of God, for it is indeed an inclusive place. So during the coming week and throughout this new year, be attentive to the ways that God is calling you by name and blessing you. And be intentional as well to be a blessing to others. In this way, we may all come to a deeper understanding of our own calling and baptism, knowing that it is meant to make us aware of our identity as beloved children of God. May we continue to strive to be a community of faith that reaches out to the larger community beyond ourselves with the message that here at College Hill, you have a place where you can belong. Amen.